PCJ Radio International presents the longest-running international show, The Happy Station Show, produced and presented by Keith Pehon.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome again to another edition of your program, Happy Station, from PCJ Radio International. Very nice to have you with us on today's show. There was something that was happening, and I can't remember exactly what it was. I remember now. Actually, we have some information that we're going to be giving you today on the special program that we have coming up. When is it coming up? It's coming up, oh yes, that's right, this weekend. Probably on Sunday when you're actually hearing this. If you're hearing this on a different... I see, I'm just babbling for the sake of babbling. Well, no, not really. It's just one of those weeks, actually. One of those weeks that I'm slightly feeling under the weather. Really slightly feeling under the weather. And I don't know if it has to do with just a lack of sleep or... the climate. I think maybe it's actually a little bit of both. Anyway, let's have music right away. The wonderful Barbra Streisand and People.
People who need people, all the luckiest people in the world, where children needing other children. Special people, they're the luckiest people in the world, with one person, one very special person. Soul says you are half, now you're whole. No more hunger and thirst, but first be a person who needs people. Special person, a feeling deep in your soul says you are half, now you're whole. No more hunger and thirst, but first be a person who needs people. People who need people.
the incredible Barbra Streisand with People here on Happy Station from PCJ Radio International. Well, now time for some information about a special program that we actually have coming up Sunday and Monday UTC time. Now, if you're listening to this program after Monday, well, you can go do something else for a few minutes. But it is our continuing series from the Radio Netherlands Archives, Program 4, produced and presented by Paulette Macquarie. We've added these schedules outside our normal schedule, and they are the following. To Europe, from 6 hours to 8 hours UTC. That's Europe from 6 to 8 hours UTC, October 30th, on 7780 kilohertz. So that's morning hours in Europe. And then to North America, October 31st UTC time. That's October 31st UTC time from 1 to 3 hours UTC, which is around 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern time on 7750 kilohertz. What's actually interesting, because these are coming from both are coming from Okeechobee in Florida in the United States. A lot of people that live, let's say, on the east coast of Canada have let us know that they can pick up both transmissions. So they say, well, they'll listen to 1 hour of one and then 1 hour of the other. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. This month's program that Paulette is presenting is going to be on Eddie Starts. So you can find all the details at our website, www.pcjmedia.com. That's www.pcjmedia.com. Let's have, well, kind of a little, how would I put it, teaser of what you can hear this weekend.
Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti.
I like a nice cup of tea in the morning, or to start the day, you see. And at half past 11.
This is station PCJ in Holland. And now for the remainder of the program, my friends across the fence. In Central America, in North America, and in South America, and also on board of ships cruising the seven seas, we wish you good reception, a good voyage, and good arrival in the next port. When you come to the next port, drop us a line. Maybe you can write this line now and post it when you come to the next harbor. Until the end of the program, we have some slumber music, and we hope you like our selection.
Let's all die together. The one drink in paradise is tea.
I like a nice cup of tea.
There's a yearning. From the snow-topped Rocky Mountains down to the Firelands and the Falklands, from the Chinese Wall and from Alaska to the New Zealands and the Pole, from the Pacific Islands to the Strait of Dover, from the dikes of Holland to Cape Hope and to the Indies, and in between the mountains and the seas, everywhere there's a yearning for love and friendship and for peace. Not a second part. From the Great Lakes of the Northland and the Antarctic's ice and snow, from the depth of all the oceans to the surf of a blue lagoon, from the planet right to the sun god and to the craters of the moon, back down to Earth and the seven seas, everywhere there's a yearning for love and friendship and for peace.
A short teaser of what you can hear on the continuing series from PCJ from the Radio Netherlands Archives, produced and presented by Paulette Macquarie. You can find all the details at our website, www.pcjmedia.com. Johnny Farnham and One.
One is the loneliest number that you'll ever do. Two can be as bad as one. It's the loneliest number since the number one. No is the saddest experience you'll ever know. no good anymore since you went away. Now I spend my time making rhymes of yesterday.
Farnham and One. People do write us and ask us about the different transmitter sites that we use. Now, there's one that we do use occasionally. It's not one of our regular sites, and that's the BBC Far East station in Singapore. And it's a station, of course, that I have visited a number of times. And today, we would like to reuse a piece that was used on Media Network Plus about maybe 5 years ago when we visited the station on one of our visits and decided to record something while we were there. And it gives an insight into the station, what's equipped there, and it actually is quite interesting, and I think you'll find it interesting as well. The BBC World Service has a number of different transmission facilities around the world. One of the most important is the one located in Kranji, Singapore, which is located in the northwest of the country. The site was built in the mid-1960s. Before the site moved to Singapore, the BBC World Service used to broadcast from a transmitter relay in Malaysia. The site was closed because of poor relations between the Malaysian government and the British government, so the Malaysian government at the time asked the BBC to leave. When the BBC was looking for an optimum site, they came up with Kranji. Now, just to give you a little description of what Kranji, Singapore is like. First, you have to remember Singapore is very small. It's a city-state. It has a population of around 4 million people, so land is quite precious. But Kranji is located in a part of Singapore that is a natural reserve. The other thing that's very interesting about the Kranji transmitter site is the transmitter hall. It's an exact copy of the one in Daventry. The transmitters, which have numbers like sender 125, 126, were all built by Marconi and sent new to Singapore in 1965. One of the other things that makes Kranji so special is its location. From this part of Singapore, they can offer a clear signal into India, the rest of Southeast Asia, China, and Australia and New Zealand. Not much has changed at the site since it was built in 1965. On a recent trip to Singapore, I had a chance to spend a whole day there with Cindy Yao, who's the manager of the station. Cindy started at the station in 1967 as a secretary, and now is the manager of the station. The chief engineer is Tam Lan Sun, who has been working there for the past 30 years.
Control room. Uh-huh. There used to be have a control desk here that we get the radio feed for the program. And then they did update to satellite feed. So this is where the control bay. There's changes here, but on the transmitter side, there's not much changes.
But here from the from this side, the control room side, back in the early days of the station, how were the programs coming in?
Back in the early day, when I came in, they get a direct satellite feed. Then we got a radio feed as a backup. And now we are using satellite feed. We use digital SMDS. And the backup use ISDN 9, you know. And the control bay equipment, monitor equipment, all have been removed. Mm-hmm. So we replaced with a small table there.
So like with this stuff now, how much easier is it compared to the old days?
It's much, much easier. Rather you do the last minute patching here and there, especially on the dock, you do announcement, all these things, no? Mm-hmm. So nowadays, you just leave it to the central in UK to switch in the announcement, everything.
So then over here, you have the computers that control. Now, these control the audio to each of the transmitters, or how does it work?
This three computer PC is basically for the PLC, control, download our program feed, mm-hmm. schedule to the PLC. And the PLC will do automatic control switching on the transmitter on, off, switch the program in on the source, you know. And this is where we do the remote controlling of the transmitter, a selection of radio, the audio feed to the transmitter.
And what about for frequency change? Is that also done in here?
Yes, it's all this done by the PLC. So the engineer has to go to the transmitter, put to the local remote, and then the frequency will do it automatically.
Have there been any slip-ups where you go, oh, wrong frequency? Or
once over blue moon, yeah, there's some command failure, no? So the engine, then the frequency alarm will come on to tell the wrong frequency there. So we have to go there manually, do the selection. It's not very frequent occurrence. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's actually just go to the transmitter room. It's safe to go in. We're not going to get electrocuted or anything.
No, it's quite safe. Feel quite warm,
temperature. Wow, I mean it's such a big difference. So let me ask you, the transmitters that are in this room, what is the minimum and maximum power?
We basically got two model here, the BD6122 transmitting at 100 kilowatt average power, therefore the RF carrier. B1623 is carrying the 250 kilowatts. Or then another model is BD272, the Marconi. It is 250 kilowatt transmission. So basically, there are two models here. One's your 100 kilowatt transmitter, the other one is 250 kilowatt transmitter.
How old are these transmitters? How long have they been in use in the station?
Since
1965.
The transmitters were built in 1965.
So after all this time, if something goes wrong, what do you do for parts? I take it that this company is no longer around.
As I told you earlier, that some of the parts we fabricate ourselves. You know, we have a workshop over right at the end of the hall, and the technicians are able to copy and fabricate themselves. If not, we'll get an outside contractor to help us. Yeah.
So would that be, for example, like the radio tubes or...
Oh, the valve you still can get from UK. You know, there's certain capacitor, variable capacitor, we still get from UK, and they supply it to us. There's more contacts, we usually make our own, you know. And basically, we still can do it ourselves.
Now, you know, looking at this hall, just to describe it, it's a big hall. You have all these transmitters lined up. How often do you perform maintenance here?
We got daily maintenance carry out. know, to check the transmission, make sure the simple like, contact is working. Then we got some maintenance schedule to follow.
There are three shifts a day. The day shift, evening shift, night shift. And it's the day shift that do the maintenance work. Any fault reporting from the evening or night shift, the day shift will carry out the fault finding and problem solving.
You've both been here for a long time. When you think about the millions of people that listen to the programs from this station, you must be very satisfied that they're picking up a really good signal with you know, very clear audio.
Yeah, it's quite amazing. No? Never expect radio from here can reach other parts of the world, especially to India, China.
I think it's a teamwork. Our engineers work well, you know, to keep this place, the site performing, our performance is good, you know, all the time, stay that at good level.
So with this site, what is the main target area? Where do you mainly target?
I think the Asia, India, Southeast Asia, Indonesia, yeah. These are quite many programs that go there. Yeah.
So how many staff do you have working in this station?
At the moment, 21.
21?
Yeah.
And at one particular time, how many people would be here?
For the shift work, we have two engineers per shift. Yeah. For the day shift, we have more people. Yeah. So we have two technicians, two admin staff, and the rest are all engineers.
And that's not just for the transmitters, but also for the antennas outside.
Yes, about four riggers.
Yes, I've forgotten about riggers.
To help maintain the riggers. Right. Sorry, we maintain the antenna in the field.
I see that you actually have one of them that is open up right now. Is this just going through regular maintenance?
Yeah, we open up to check the contact, make sure everything is in the proper order, ready for the imaging transmission.
How are these cooled?
Basically, this water cool and vapor pool. You know, water are feeding from the glass tube, as you can see, and it's boil out, and the steam go up on the glass tube there, and it cool by heat exchangers there. And gravity, and when it condenses the water, you go into a conservator tank there, and it's gravity feed in by the valve.
There must be times of day when every single transmitter is on, or is there? Do they have? Do they say only use like? Some at this time, some at this time. There must be times when you have every single one on.
Usually during evening time, at the peak hour, then all the transmitter will be on. Usually after 5 GMT.
You know, the schedule, I can see that.
You will look at the schedule chart. Can I show you a schedule chart?
Oh, yeah, sure. We'll see the schedule chart. And we also see some workstations with some spare parts.
For the night shift, I think the transmission ends at 1:30.
No, 2 a.m.
2 a.m.
2:30 a.m.
2:30 to 5:30, right? During this period, the transmission is off.
This is how it ended.
May the 1st this year, specially modified stealth helicopters set off for Pakistan in the dead of night.
But how did it all begin?
This was a character unlike any we've seen.
You know, people think that international broadcasting, all you're doing is recording programs, setting the programs out, and that's it. But there's a lot more work to it than that. I mean, this of course is probably the heart or the brain of any broadcast institution. The amount of man hours to go in to use, say, 2-3 frequencies just to reach an audience on the other side of the world, it is quite incredible. I mean, you must have a personal passion for this kind of work, do you?
Of course. I won't be working 24 with more years here.
So when you wake up every day, do you wake up and say, do you ever say to yourself, I can't believe I'm doing this?
Yeah, yeah.
Really? So when you're looking to make parts, how do you find somebody that can do it? I mean, because you said that some of the parts you designed yourself, but you must have to meet special, say, technical requirements and safety requirements.
Of course, we try it out first, you know, test it out, see whether we can stand it. Can we walk this way? You know, and it works, then we fabricate all the parts. Careful.
So with all the RF that's generated here and in the transmitter hall, are you limited, let's say, to the amount of hours that you can spend in one particular area?
No, because I think it's quite in the safe level. So I don't think that's an issue. Especially walking around the area field, I don't think you get RF burn unless it's staying directly underneath that area that rating 250 kilowatt for
right.
a few hours. And that won't be happen. Most of the time we are moving about.
So like say, have you ever come out here and, do you have a shortwave receiver?
At home I have, used to monitor.
Yeah.
So not in the office here, because if your transmitter on, it will jam out the shortwave.
Right.
So it's no point. It's an area feed.
So what about these feeds as well? How often do you change these feeder lines?
No, you don't change it unless it's burned.
It's Mrs. Burn.
Careful. Yeah. So far, it's quite lasting.
Mm-hmm.
Once in a while, you get horizontal feeder burn, all these things, so we replace it.
And you know, considering that Singapore is in the tropics, what about lightning strikes?
Very lucky we don't get strike.
Okay.
But I think it has happened once in the tower K, but that's the only thing I think I can recall is right there and our transmitter hall, the roof.
Right.
But for safety reasons, as they say, it's overcast, then we don't do any work in the field. They say heavy rain coming or lightning coming.
Mm-hmm.
And the golf club were having a service, when riding along approach, when any lightning approach, they sound an alarm, so we know.
Okay.
Time to go on the shelter.
But you know, something that is quite, you're lucky. I mean, there's other countries, they have certain things to contend with this kind of station, either it being typhoons or cyclones. Singapore is very lucky like that because you don't have, let's say, the same kind of typhoons that would, let's say, affect Indonesia, the Philippines, or Taiwan. You don't have cyclones like you would, let's say, in parts of New Zealand where Radio New Zealand has been taken off the air because of cyclones. So here you're pretty safe then.
Yeah, I agree with you. You don't face typhoon, earthquake, all this natural disaster.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not an issue here. And you don't face flood here, so it's quite safe.
Right.
What a safer place to be.
The rest of the world could be coming down. Just come to the Far East Relay Station and you'll be safe.
Yeah, come to Singapore and stay.
Deutsche Welle. News.
This is Mark Hallam in Bonn. U.S. President Barack Obama has announced that politicians in Washington have agreed on a deal to raise the country's debt limit and avoid default. The deal will cut about $1 trillion from government spending over the next 10 years and establishes a bipartisan committee of Congress to come up.
And that was something that I recorded a few years ago on one of my many visits to the BBC Far East station in Singapore. It's an interesting place to get to because, I mean, Singapore is very small. So from downtown by taxi, it was maybe around 20 minutes. And then you go down this, little narrow road. And as we were going down the road to the Far East station, to my right was an abandoned site. There's still some towers. The building looks very new. And it was the site that was used for, how many people remember, Radio Singapore International. They were they were a latecomer to the international shortwave bands and weren't around for very long. But it was a station that was well listened to. And when they built the site for Radio Singapore International, which is not far, well, you can walk there in 10 minutes from the BBC Far East station. It was a site that was built new. I mean, everything was new. Transmitters, mixing desks, processors, antenna towers, the transmitter hall, everything was new. And when Radio Singapore International closed, MediaCorp, which is the main outlet for television and radio in Singapore, decided to scrap the station. Now, when I say scrap the station, you call big trucks that come along and they pick it up and then they dump it. and then crush everything. That's basically what they did. Brand new ABB transmitters. Yeah, brand new. Everything was new. But the guys at the BBC Far East station said when they got word that Radio Singapore International was closing and what was happening to it, they said they spoke to the engineers there, got in one of their jeeps, went there and picked up any kind of parts that they had. And as much as they can carry, because the engineers at the old Radio Singapore relay said, look, if you can come here between this time and this time, you can take away as much as you want. And that's exactly what they did. And when you walk around the transmitter house at Kranji in the engineering section, you'll still see some parts that will say Radio Singapore International. Quite fascinating, actually. But it is an amazing place. And they're very welcoming. So if you are planning to either go on a trip to Singapore or passing through Singapore, I would suggest you go pay them a visit, as they do love it when people come and drop by and say hi. All right, time for music again. Here's actor Kevin Spacey singing a song from the soundtrack Beyond the Sea, which is the musical biography of the legendary American singer Bobby Darin, with Simple Song of Freedom.
Come and sing a simple song of freedom. Sing it like you've never sung before. Let it fill the air, tell the people everywhere. We the people here don't want a war. Hey there, Mr. Black Man, can you hear me? I don't want your diamonds or your game. I just want to be someone known to you as me. And I will bet my life you want the same. Come and sing a simple song of freedom. Sing it like you've never sung before. Let it fill the air. Tell the people everywhere, we the people here don't want a war. 700 million, are you listening? Most of what you read is made of lies. But speaking one to one, ain't it everybody's son to wake to in the morning when we rise? Come and sing a simple song of freedom. Sing it like you've never sung before. Let it fill the air, tell the people everywhere. We the people here don't want a war. Brother Solzhenitsyn, are you busy? If not, won't you drop this friend a line? Tell me if the man who is plowing up your land has got the war machine upon his mind. Come and sing a simple song of freedom. Sing it like you've never sung before. Let it fill the air. Tell the people everywhere, we the people here don't want a war. Now no doubt some folks enjoy doing battle, like presidents, prime ministers and kings. So let's all build them shells where they can fight among themselves. Leave the people be who love to sing. Come and sing a simple song of freedom. Sing it like you've never sung before. Let it fill the air. Tell the people everywhere. We the people here don't want a war. I said let it fill the air. Tell the people everywhere.
We the people here don't want a war.
Kevin Spacey from the soundtrack Beyond the Sea, which is the film about the legendary American singer Bobby Darin. Classical is something that we don't play too often on the program, but this past week I managed to pick up a CD of members of the Taipei Symphony Orchestra, which is a phenomenal orchestra, and they do have a very large catalog of material. Now, I say members of the Taipei Symphony Orchestra because it's not the full orchestra. And it's because of a CD that they recorded at the Chiang Kai-shek Memorial Hall this past summer. And it's the works of Johann Sebastian Bach. We're going to take a listen to the Brandenburg Concerto No. 3 in G major. Members of the Taipei Symphony Orchestra. Thank you. members of the Taipei Symphony Orchestra playing Johann Sebastian Bach's Brandenburg Concerto No. 3 in G major. And this is from a new recording that they made this past summer that was made at the Chiang Kai-shek Memorial Hall in downtown Taipei. I was checking around, and it seems that recordings of the Taipei Symphony Orchestra, which actually perform a yearly program, and the other orchestra they have within that orchestra, finding recordings available from them in Taiwan is rather easy. And they do perform with international musicians that do come to Taiwan on a regular basis. But finding some of the recordings overseas tends to be a little tricky, but I know that if you go to the website for the Taipei Symphony Orchestra or the Taiwan Philharmonic Orchestra, you can actually find their recordings online, and you can buy them through their website. And they actually have a very interesting selection of music. I mean, they play works by Western composers, for example, like Johann Sebastian Bach, who we just heard, Mozart, Beethoven, Brahms, Vaughan Williams, and many others. And they also feature traditional Chinese classical and Chinese folk music, which is also very nice as well. We're going to play one of those recordings on a future program, but I would just suggest you go check it out. There are some videos, of course, also on YouTube of them playing. Anyway, it is time to leave you. So if you want to get in touch with us to let us know how you heard the program, there's a number of ways to do so. The easiest, of course, is always by email, pcjqsl@pcjmedia.com. You can also get in touch with us through Facebook. There is a website on Facebook for PCJ Radio International where we keep you updated on upcoming programs like the continuing series, which will air this weekend. That's if you catch this program before it airs, which is from the Radio Netherlands archives, produced and presented by Paul McCoy. You'll find the details at our website, pcjmedia.com. All right, we're going to end today with Australian singer Kylie Minogue, who acted in the very famous Australian soap opera Home and Away many years ago with Jason Donovan, with one of her early recordings called Hand on Your Heart. So on behalf of everyone here at PCJ Radio International, I'm Keith Perron, wishing you well, saying so long, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, adios amigos, and sayonara.
Put your hand on your heart and tell me that we're through.